Well, we have been in the Exposed series the last couple weeks, and just as a reminder, the goal of this series always has been, in a world where you're exposed to a lot of different messages about sex, we wanted to expose you to what Scripture had to say about them. We did that the first week by talking about God's good design for sex, His purposes for sex. Last week, we talked about the lies that we hear from the culture around us about it. And as I've thought about this and I've thought about where you are in hearing that, it reminded me of a classic tale of good versus evil. And I'm talking about the 80s classic, The Karate Kid. And it's about this boy named Daniel who moves to this new place and he gets bullied. He even gets beat up and he wants to learn karate. He even goes to visit this dojo called Cobra Kai. That's the bad guys. And they're like, whoosh, whoosh, like it's super intense. And he doesn't join there. But after he gets beat up, he sees that there's a karate tournament. And he wants to compete in this karate tournament, beat Cobra Kai. Also in Cobra Kai are the people that bullied him and beat him up. And so he gets a man that saved him when he was getting beat up, named Mr. Miyagi, to train him. All right. And so he shows up to Miyagi's house for the first day of karate training. So along with painting, with waxing and washing the car, he has to paint the fence and he has to sand the floor and do these menial tasks. And here's the hard part is Daniel knows there's a day ahead of him where he will have the opportunity to demonstrate his karate skills, to be a karate kid. But in the meantime, he is stuck waxing on and waxing off, painting the fence, etc., etc., etc. And if you remember the first purpose that we talked about for sex, that was that sex is meant for marriage. And I realize that in this room, there's not a lot of people that are ready for marriage. You're in junior high, right? You're not ready to take on the financial, physical responsibilities that come with supporting somebody emotionally, spiritually. Girls, I would say there's probably not a lot of junior high guys that I would ever advise a girl going, hey, you could definitely go underneath their leadership, right? So that's no surprising statement there. But all that to say, not many people in here are ready for marriage. And almost none of middle schoolers are, and that's okay. You're in junior high. But it does create a tension where you're like, great, we talked about God's purposes for sex. We talked about the lies that the world says. But there's this tension that goes, what am I supposed to do with this? It feels like marriage is such a long way away. What am I supposed to do with this in the meantime? And that's what we're going to talk about today. Specific actions that you, as an almost teenager, as a teenager, can take to walk faithfully with the Lord when it comes to sex. The first one is this, trust God. And you're like, a specific action, trust God? Yes, you can trust, you can choose. Trust is a choice. If you've ever been to camp, you've been at the ropes course maybe, where you're up there and it's like this giant 50-foot swing, or you're standing on top of this pole and you got to jump out and the only thing holding you is the rope. And you're like, look, the rope seems safe and all, and I, you know, it can, the cables can stop a jet landing on a carrier. I've heard all that stuff, but when I'm 40 feet in the air, it doesn't feel like it. But if you've done the ropes course, you have chosen to trust the ropes and the people operating that. All right? And so you can choose to trust God. And so that is what, man, we are about. I lead a small group of ninth grade boys. I've told them this for the last 3.5 years. Obviously, there are ways that I would love to see them grow in the way they act and think, and the things they do or don't do and the way they treat people. But at the end of the day, I care less about their behavior modification, them changing their behaviors to look a certain way, than I do about their hearts. Do they trust God? Because I believe that trusting God is the foundation that the rest of your spiritual life is built on, right? That if you trust God, a lot of other things are going to fall into place. And look, and there's also prayer involved. Remember the centurion that said, I believe, Jesus, help my unbelief. And so absolutely pray, God, help me trust you more. Help me trust you more. That is a prayer I find myself praying for myself, for my wife, one day that my daughter would trust God more and more and more. And we pray that as a ministry for you, that you deeper and deeper in your heart would trust God. It is the foundation your spiritual life is built on. A trust in God ties you more closely to his will. Because for some of you, maybe the last couple weeks, there have been times where you're like, flat out, I don't agree with what we've been talking about here. I don't agree with God's purposes for sex. I would rather go do this. And I'm going to guess that most of you in here at some point in your lives, if you haven't already, are going to be tempted to do that same thing. To go, man, this sure looks satisfying. This sure looks fulfilling, but this is God's purpose here. And as much as I want to go this way, man, at the end of the day, I trust God. So I'm going to trust him even when I don't want to. That's what trust does. And that's what I mean when it says it ties you closely to his will. You know, and part of the thing with trust is and it's almost like a logical thing in some sense where you find out information, you find out facts, you find out who somebody is, and that allows you to trust them more. With those ropes, I mean, it does. It does help me to know, hey, these cables are the same ones that they use on the aircraft carrier to land the planes, right? It does help me to know that they switch these ropes out every 500 uses. It does help me to know that I'm like the 1,000th person this guy has sent off this 50-foot swing. And so you know what? I can put my trust in that. And that's part of why we sing. So that we can sing things that are true about God. And as you're singing them, man, that it would sink into your heart. And you would sing that Jesus is better. And you would go, you are better. I can trust you. James knew this when he was writing to the Christians in James 1, 16 through 17. He said this, "Don't be deceived, my brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." If it's good, it's from God. That's a good thing for you to memorize. Just let that sit in. If it's good, it's from God. That's what James is saying. Don't be deceived. Nothing good. There's never been something that's been good that has not come from God. Sex is an example of that. But so many, 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 many other things are. And God does not change. He does not like shifting shadows, and you always got to figure out what's God's stance on this? What does God think about this? How did God design this? But you know what does is our culture. I can tell you in the last 100 years, in the last 30 years, in the last 15 years, our culture's view about sex has changed immensely. Things that used to not be okay are now okay in culture and celebrated. Things that were considered the right attitudes to have about sex 30 years ago are now considered hateful, judgmental. But God does not change. And it is easy to trust somebody that does not change. And if you can trust God, that'll tie you closely to his will. And sometimes we try to figure out, oh, what is God's will? What do I do? How do I follow him? 1 John 5:3 says this, "This is the love of God." This is trusting in God, that you keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. They're not heavy. They're not weighty. He's not out to steal life from you, to keep you from being satisfied or fulfilled. He's after your joy, that you would have life to the full, the most fulfilling life. That is what God is about. And you can trust him in that. And the first step in any of this is for you to go, do I trust God? For some of you, that's maybe for the first time, putting your faith in what Jesus has done on the cross, that makes us righteous in God's sight. For some of you who maybe have been walking with Jesus for a while, it's going, what parts of my life do I not trust God in? And do I trust God? That is a question you need to ask yourself and get people around to help you decide that. And if you trust God, then your next action is to know your Bible, know your standards, and make them known to others. Do you know your scripture well enough to know when you hear a lie from culture? Can you spot it when you're watching a movie, a TV show, when you're listening to music or hearing people talk just around you? Can you spot the lies about sex in our culture? Are you willing to stand up for and follow God's plan? And if so, what are the standards you're going to set in your life when it comes to physical relationships. And let me just tell you, some places you can go to set those standards, and the first one is your parents. And I know I say that, and you're like, nice try. But you really can. Your parents have been alive longer than you. They've seen more than you have, and you can absolutely go to them and say, hey, I'm trying to decide what my standards are when it comes to physical relationships. What would you advise? And maybe some of you guys are like, I don't know that my parents would give me the biblical stuff, Sean. And you know what? There's other resources. Go to your small group leaders. Go to your small group. Come to us. We would love to help you figure that stuff out. We've already been having some of those kind of conversations over the last couple weeks. Don't ask those friends that are not pursuing the same things you are, because they will not lower your standard. They will lower your standards. You will not raise theirs. Get like-minded friends who are after following God's purposes for the purpose of knowing God and trusting Him, and have them help you set your standards. You guys do it together. Talk about it in small group. And then also make those standards known to anybody that you would date. Anybody that you want to date, if they don't agree 100%, not just with the what of those standards, but the why, if they don't agree with the what and the why 100%, do not date them. I don't care how cute they are. I don't care how funny they are. Do not date them. And you might think, no, I can help raise their standards. I'm going to make them love God more by dating them, even though they don't agree with my standards. It doesn't happen. Date to save is not a thing, okay? So you don't want to do that. And I promise, just trust me, you don't want to do that. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And some of the people that you share your standards with is going to be for encouragement and support to help you. Sometimes you're going to get made fun of. But man, they will be seeing your light shining before men. Number three, a specific action you can take is fleeing from any and all sexual immorality. We could teach a whole message on this and many of these specific actions, but here's what I want you to know. We talked about last week, Ephesians 5:3 says, among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or impurity. And so we live in a broken world, and you are going to be tempted when it comes to sex in many, many, many ways. Some of you already have been. I'm going to assume most of you maybe even already have been. And here's two ways to fight that I want you to know. The first one is to know your lure. When I say know your lure, we're going to look at James 1:13-15. It says, let nobody say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. That's good to know. God does not tempt you. That's a common misconception sometimes. God does not tempt you. So how does each person get tempted? Well, it says right here, each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. And then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. And so you are tempted when you are lured by your own desire. And when I say that word lure, what do you think of? Fishing. All right. How many people have ever been fishing before? All right. I have been fishing before. I didn't grow up doing it a lot. Some people grow up fishing with their dads. Me and my dad played golf. I'd go fishing for golf balls in the water when I hit them in the water. That was the extent of my fishing. But here's what I know is that to catch certain kind of fish, you use certain kinds of lures. All right. And so there's a fish that's swimming around, just enjoying itself, just swimming free. And all of a sudden they see this little frog looking thing, right? And they're like, oh, look at that frog. That looks tasty. And it's going to swim up and it's going to bite it. And it's going to bite it. And then it's going to get hooked. It was lured by its own desire. And then eventually that desire brings forth sin, and sin brings forth death. And death is what happens to that fish. And then there's another fish swimming by that fish, watching him get reeled in. And he's like, bye, buddy. And the fish is like, whoa, I bit the frog. And the fish, that other fish is like, what a dummy fish. He fell for the frog. It's made of like rubber. It's not even a real frog. It's speckled. No frogs are actually like speckled like that in lakes in Texas. But then that fish is like swimming along, thinking about how smart it is. And it sees this one, right? This little white little deal that's like, it looks like it's got like hair coming out, and they see the little eyes, and this one is just strolling through, just zipping through the water, and it just looks so graceful with the little strings coming off, and that fish is like, heck yeah, it's dinner time. And they go and bite it, and they don't even see the hook because it's covered up by the little strings that it likes so much. And that fish gets hooked, and then they see another fish, and it's like, bye, buddy. And they're like, I'm done. And that fish is like, he fell for this white stringy thing. What a dummy. And that fish goes, I don't fall for the frog. I don't fall for the white stringy thing. But it out of the corner of its ears, I don't know. Fish don't have ears. But you know what I mean. All of a sudden, this fish is very advanced. All of a sudden, it hears like this rattle. And it's like, what's that rattle? And it turns and it sees this incredibly shiny, rattly fish. And it goes, that looks really good. And like, this is metal, right? You're like, don't do that. It's metal. And it's literally got two hooks right on it. And the fish doesn't care because it goes, shiny, rattly, I'm in. And it bites it. And now it too is in the boat with its buddies. And they're all looking at each other like, well, we all fell for it. And here's the thing. I tell you that because as silly as that sounds, that is each of us. We all have lures. We all have certain things that we have friends that we go, I can't believe they fell for that. But then we are right there too. We are right there. And we all have our lures. For me, in my 20s, it was actually, I had struggles with pornography, but man, you know what was even a bigger lure for me in my 20s? Was whenever I would watch something or think about like anything that presented this idea of, hey, being in a relationship with someone is the happiest life you can have. Because that would always just pull on my heart and I'd go, gosh, I'm not in a relationship with somebody, but I want to be. Let me go find one. And then when I found one, I would dive all in and try to be as connected as possible emotionally, spiritually, and then eventually physically. And that was my lure, this idea that a relationship could satisfy me. And for some of you, that is your lure. Some of you heard me say that and go, okay, what a weirdo. But your lure is just anytime you watch a movie and you see somebody scantily clad or dressed in something inappropriate, that's your lure. And it hooks you and it's got your mind and you're swimming towards it, kind of checking it out. And then eventually, if you just do not realize it's a lure, you will bite it. And it will bring forth sin, and sin brings forth death. And so one of the best ways you can fight is to know your lures. And you should talk about in small group, what are my lures? And you should tell other people what your lures are so that while they're swimming next to you and you see the shiny, rattly thing, they can go, hey, I know that's shiny. I know that's rattly. It's not worth it. You're going to be in a boat flopping around outside of water 10 minutes from now. And I mean that, like, that's joking saying that, but like, man, that is so true. That is so true. And the people, some of the people that I know that are, man, have the least amount of scars are the ones that know their lures and trust themselves the least. And so you need to not trust yourself because there is a lure for all of us that goes, man, I know that's got hooks on it, but I can probably avoid the hooks, and you can't. And then also, the other way to fight this is to flee. The Bible, when it talks about sexual temptation, doesn't necessarily call you to stand and fight it and go, I won't partake, I won't partake. It calls you to flee. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee youthful passions, flee sexual temptation, pursue righteousness, faith, love, purity, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. That is one movement with two actions. I am fleeing sexual passions, temptation, anything that would cause me to grow distant in my relationship with the Lord, anything that would cause me, my heart to grow cold because of sin. I'm fleeing that and I'm pursuing things that would draw me to the Lord. Not so that I can earn it, but because He's already earned it and I want more of Him. Righteousness, faith, love, purity, and do it with others. Joseph modeled this when he was an attendant. He was an advisor for this guy named Potiphar. He was at Potiphar's house one day in Genesis 39, and nobody else was there. We can throw Genesis 39 up there. And nobody else was there. And Potiphar's wife caught him by the cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. He wasn't like, no, actually, Potiphar's wife, this would be bad. And let me tell you why. And I'm going to fight this temptation. He goes, I'm out of here. You can take my jacket. I'll freeze. I don't care. I'm out of here. And he literally ran out of the house. And that is how we're called to fight sexual temptation, is to flee. That doesn't mean like, hey, man, I know when I have my phone next to me, when I go to bed, it's hard. But you know what? I'm going to fight it because I can fight it. No, that is not fleeing. Fleeing would be, you know what? I'm going to put my phone in another room. I'm going to give it to my parents or one of my siblings to say, don't give me this until morning. That's fleeing. And that's what Scripture calls us to. And for your lure, especially when it comes to sexual temptation, you need to learn what fleeing looks like in that. Another specific action is to wait on relationships until you're ready. Don't let yourself fall in love with someone until you are ready for a serious commitment to them, until you're ready to follow through with that. And if you get in a deep emotional relationship, you are really asking for more temptation than you can handle, especially in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. And you might think, I can't control the way I feel about a person. But remember, we talked about last week, love is not just a feeling. Love is a choice. And then I want to also remind you of 2 Timothy 1:7, which says, God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. I'm not asking you to pray away feelings. I'm not saying it's bad to have crushes. Have all the crushes you want. But, man, bring people in on that. And you just need to know, man, the more connected emotionally you get with somebody, the more temptation you're asking for. And so as you try to figure out in the future, as you get older, when you're ready to date, when you're not, you need to have people that help you do that. You need to have your small group leaders, your parents, like-minded friends that are pursuing God alongside you to help you do that. Because here's the thing, guys, in a couple weeks, it will have been 2 years that I've been married. And I can tell you, marriage is a lot about service and it's a lot about sacrifice. I have had to learn to say no to myself more in the last 2 years than I have in the 30 years before that. And I'm still not very good at it, right? And also, sex is only a very small part of marriage. A lot of marriage is sacrifice, service. And by serving others, you can prepare yourself for a great marriage. And the call to marriage is high. God says, husbands, serve your wife. Love her as Christ loved the church. Spoiler alert, Jesus died for the church. He gave himself totally for it. Ladies, he will call you to support, to submit, to help, to come underneath a man's leadership. And that can be a really hard thing, especially if he's a doofus, right? And so you better prepare yourself now, because that would be a lot to come under right now. That would be a lot to follow through with right now in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. Which kind of gets us to our last specific action, and that's prepare for your future role. And while you're waiting for God's purposes to be fulfilled, spend that time preparing yourself to be the kind of husband or wife God intends us to be. I'm talking specifically about waiting for God's purposes for sex, because one of his purposes is that it's in the context of marriage. And here's the deal. Just be the man or woman God wants you to be. And if you get married, you'll be the kind of husband or wife God wants you to be. You don't have to put a ton of pressure on. I'm not asking to go read marriage books right now. That would be crazy. Be the kind of man or woman that God wants you to be. And instead of fooling around with sexual things, pour your life into the service of other people, into loving God, loving people, and making him known to those people. And I want to remind us that being a man or woman of God is the end goal. I know we've talked a lot about sex and that it's for marriage, and so this whole message is kind of built around like, hey, what do we do while we're waiting so one day when we're married, so that we can fulfill God's purposes for sex? But the reality is, marriage is not all that there is out there. And we've talked about this over the last couple weeks, but just I want to say that again. I have friends that are married, and I have friends that are single, and my friends that are married are no more complete than my friends that are single. And I said this 2 weeks ago, but if you will live a life where you follow God and trust Him and walk as closely with Him as possible, that is the end goal. And that is where you will find satisfaction and joy and life and fulfillment. Being a man or woman of God is the end goal. It's not a silver lining or like a bonus. That is the end goal. That is your role now, and that will always be your role, to be a man or woman of God. Our friend Daniel in The Karate Kid, after many, many weeks of waxing the same cars over and over again and painting the fence over and over again and sanding the floor, one day he had just had enough. Miyagi was basically asking him to trust him and just going, hey, before we get into the karate thing, I want you to do these chores. And he's like, you have to trust me in this. And Daniel had had enough. And he's like, what are we doing here? And this is how Miyagi responded. A magical moment happens there. A magical moment happens when all of his training came together. All of these seemingly inconsequential, little, meaningless, small moments come together and he becomes the Karate Kid, right? And everything changes after that. He has a training montage where he's the best around and it's so fun. It's a total 80s training montage. And Daniel goes on and Daniel wins that tournament. Spoiler alert, it's from the 80s. You knew it was coming. It's fine. But here's what I want you to know. I want you to know that there are going to be times in your life when other people are indulging in sexual experiences and you feel like you're just painting the fence. Where you're like, this stinks. This does not feel like this doesn't feel satisfying or fulfilling. And in the same way that Daniel had to trust Miyagi in those little things, I'm asking you to trust me and to trust God that if you will walk faithfully in that and follow God's purposes for sex and everything for that matter, not just sex, but everything, you will be even better than a karate kid. You will be someone that has walked with God, that has, your life has been about knowing Him. And He will be sweet. And you'll be able to hear Him and not have trouble knowing if it's Him. And whether you get married or not, you will have made your life about trusting Jesus and knowing Him. And He is worth trusting. He really is. So you have to decide if following God's purposes for sex is worth it. And the question, I go back to that question, do you trust God? Man, when we sing Jesus is better, man, do you trust that that's true? And if you've never trusted that for the first time, man, there is opportunity for you today, now, to trust that. And if you have, man, can strive to trust Him more. Ask Him to help you. I believe, help my unbelief. And let me pray that we'd all be people that do that. God, thank you. God, that you are good, that you are so trustworthy in every regard, in every aspect of our life, and sex is part of that. God, we can trust you when it comes to sex. And Lord, I pray that we would take these specific actions. I pray that the students in this room would take those specific actions today. Lord, as they wait faithfully to fulfill your purposes for sex, or maybe not. Lord, I pray that they would trust you. I pray that they would determine what their standards are based on what your scripture says, not based on what they want. And I pray that they would make those known to others. I pray that you help us fight, Lord, not by enduring and fighting, but by knowing our lure and then being ready to flee from it. And I pray that we would not believe the lie that being in a relationship is the most complete spot to be in. Lord, knowing you, being in a relationship with you is the most complete spot to be in. So God, give us wisdom both now and as we get older about people that we want to date. God, let us bring godly people in around us to help us decide that. God, and above all else, may we be men and women who trust you and whose lives reflect that. Lord, again, if there's someone here that has never trusted you for the first time and put their faith in you, Lord, just pray. You can just say, I'm in right now. Lord, and come talk to one of us. And Lord, I pray that for the rest of us, God, that you would allow us to trust you more. We ask this knowing that's by your grace alone, and it's for your glory, and it's for our good. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Hey, we love you guys. Next week we'll do something kind of special. We'll see you then. Yeah.